Hi, Stassi.
Hello, Halidius.
Oh, geez, that makes me sound like a Roman senator.
You are a Roman senator.
In my heart, I am.
Yeah.
I've also, my favorite is still Hallison.
Hallison?
A while back, years ago now, somebody asked me if Hallie was short for something. And I was like, what, like Hallison? And they're like, yeah. And so now I have a handful of people who will call me Hallison.
Oh, how's New Year's treating you?
It's okay. It's good. 2017 is chugging along.
We're feeling pretty great.
Do you want to tell us what our cult is this week?
Today's cult, and this week's cult, happy Monday to everyone listening.
Happy Monday, because Hallie doesn't miss a beat ever, except for that one time.
Except for when you almost didn't say beat on time.
Yeah. Okay, we're cutting this off.
Today we're going to do the Church of Bible Understanding, which is a weird cult, and I'm ready to get down to the nitty-gritty, so let's go.
Let's start at the very beginning.
A very good place to start.
We can keep making that joke, and it'll always be funny.
I agree. I think that's actually how comedy works.
Yeah, you just keep repeating it until people are forced to laugh. This one's for you, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Is it Hammerstein or Hammerstein?
I think it's Hammerstein.
I could never get it.
I'm not sure.
Anyway.
It's spelled Stein.
His name was Oscar, which I think is fabulous. I think more people should be named Oscar.
Would you name your child Oscar?
No, but no. I want someone else to. So anyway, we're going to take you back to biblical times, 1971.
Biblical times.
The Church of Bible Understanding was founded in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Woo, woo.
By Stuart Trail, a vacuum cleaner salesman.
You know what? That's always a good thing.
That seems like a job that doesn't really exist anymore.
I don't think many door-to-door salesmen exist.
My dad kind of does that, but he makes appointments for it, so it's not really door-to-door, but he does go to people's house and, like,
yes,
sell them stuff.
But that's, like, he's not selling vacuums.
No, he's selling solar panels, which sell worse.
Okay, so, Stuart Trail, who is this guy? He was born in Quebec, Canada in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
So in the late 60s, he was working as a vacuum salesman, which I guess, I don't know if he was door-to-door or if he had like a little shop or something. I don't have that in my
notes. I imagine it was door-to-door because back then that was one of
the
big things they sold door-to-door because people never really think about buying a vacuum cleaner. Like, you don't go and say, oh, I've looked up this model. I'm going to buy this vacuum cleaner at Sears. They're like, hey, do you need a new vacuum cleaner? They're like, yeah, that looks fine.
It'll do.
It'll do.
So he was an atheist, but he turned to Christianity when he realized he could not explain miracles.
But what is he qualifying as a miracle?
I don't know. I guess just like things that defy rational explanation.
Well, they have like a whole section of the church, at least the Catholic Church, that their job is to decide whether or not something is a miracle.
Okay.
Because if someone is sick and unexpectedly gets better, you could say that was a miracle.
I say many things are miracles.
Exactly. So I'm just curious of what he thought were these miracles.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't. I don't know. Good question.
Sorry, that was just my little diversion.
No, I wish I knew the answer so I could share it with you and we could all learn from this moment, but here I am.
I do have a fun fact completely unrelated to this, but
oh, remember fun facts? We used to do those.
Yes.
Please
now,
tell.
Now we have serious facts. Cold, hard truth facts. In the section of the Catholic Church that like looks at and approves or disproves miracles, there's a guy, or there used to be until very recently, and his job title was Devil's Advocate.
That's right. I remember you telling me that.
And he would walk around and be like, this isn't a miracle because of this, this, and this. And it just cracked me up to imagine someone having an office and their door said Devil's Advocate.
Hal, I feel like you would be good at that.
I would be great at that. I'm so negative. Fuck this.
This isn't a fucking miracle.
Ooh, you made something levitate. You know who else does that? Fucking, what's his name?
David Blaine. Okay, so Trail becomes a self-taught Christian.
Which always works out well.
Well, he began to mingle with Christian youths at the Robin Hood Dell, which I guess is the little Lehigh Park near Allentown.
That's in Pennsylvania.
So he began to sort of recruit these young hip Christians.
And in the early 1980s, they moved from Pennsylvania to New York City, and they moved into a dilapidated brownstone in Brooklyn. And this was back when Brooklyn was still very dangerous.
Dude, I wish we could buy a dilapidated brownstone and just chill there.
That would be great.
Could you imagine?
Oh, man. No, I love brownstones, but this was like a crappy one. It was falling down. And obviously there's still sections of Brooklyn where it's rough, but now it's just like every 5 feet is a cupcake store. So this was back when it was very dangerous. And he sort of trail took his expertise with the vacuum cleaners and opened a carpet cleaning business.
Yes! This carpet cleaning business, what was it called?
Christian Brothers Carpet Cleaning.
Yes.
Try saying that 5 times fast.
How weird is that?
And that was honestly how the cult made most of its money.
Yes.
Which I thought was very funny that they had a legitimate business in which it was going through.
Well, originally, before the carpet cleaning, he and the group members would, like, find old broken vacuum cleaners and they'd repair them and then they'd sell them. But then, like, that church, his little group, was able to sustain him financially. The members would live in sort of, like, a communal setting, working and spending all their money on the church.
So by day, they cleaned carpets. And then by night, they would pray and pray and pray. They had these called Bible sessions.
That's not an uncommon
thing. It's not. It was called Bible sessions at least once a week, often more. From 8 p.m. to 3 a.m., they would pray and they would recite entire passages from the Bible and then they would interpret them.
Nerds.
I read a really interesting article. It's called The Independent Evening, and it's a newspaper from...
That sounds like a really sexy date night.
The Independent Evening.
Right?
I read that backwards because my dyslexia, it's the Evening Independent.
Oh, God. Excuse me. I take it all back
I'm
now.
Sorry. Now it's trash. But this is an article from 1983, and we'll get more into this in the notable craziness, but there's a woman named Dawn Mizell who said she would be sleeping in this brownstone in Brooklyn, and eventually they had other sort of mini houses popping up all over the city and in Queens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they woke up in the middle of the night and asked her to interpret Matthew 13:45-46, which is about a merchant, but they would just make her read it in the middle of the night and then interpret like what she thought it meant. And she said that they called it, I'm going to quote her here.
Keep going.
It was called Cracking the Nuggies, Dawn recalled. Everybody was big on cracking the nuggies.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I cannot find it. I don't know if that's like an
80s... Cracking the nuggies.
Cracking the nuggies.
Oh dear. That just does not sound like good news. So, Stuart Trail's living it up.
I guess he's
got his whole little group making an income for him, but none of his family gets any money.
No. Nope.
His poor fucking wife. He would make her weigh herself, and then he would spank her if her weight was not to his satisfaction.
Ew.
Right? How shitty is that?
That sounds like a porno.
Ew, like something...
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Gross.
How fucked up is that?
I also know that he calls his followers sheep, which I don't know how people weren't insulted by that. And
that's what we'll call our followers in our cult.
And the new followers were called lambs because they were baby followers.
Oh, no.
Speaking of babies and young people, I guess that sort of segues us into the notable craziness.
You should get an award for segues.
I should. I want a segue as my segue award that I can just ride around. Okay. To, as we were talking about before we recorded, to complete my Joe Bluth aesthetic.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. That'll be good. I'll save up.
So, in Times Square in New York City in 1983, which shortly before the article I was just reading you was published,
mm-hmm.
There was a reverend named Bruce Ritter, and he ran a home for troubled and runaway teens called the Covenant House. Which sounds like a season of American Horror Story, but was
yes, it does!
It was actually just like a halfway house where kids who had run away, who were starving, could, you know, sleep and get cleaned up.
Okay.
He started to notice that about 17 kids over a few weeks started to disappear from his building.
Oh, that's so scary. That's like a horror movie.
Absolutely. And he said that it wasn't unusual because these were runaways and they would sometimes leave in the middle of the night.
Right.
But it was so many people in such quick succession, he got suspicious. And so he contacted the police, and a lot of these kids were underage, so they could put out missing children alerts for them.
Oh, man.
They came to find out a few weeks later, the Church of Bible Understanding had come to the Covenant House in the middle of the night, and lure these miners away and into their cult with the promise of food and shelter and salvation.
It's so predatory.
It's so predatory. And they didn't get most of these kids back.
Do we know what happened to them?
I have the article right here. A state court judge followed with an injunction, and it barred a trial and his disciples from housing or transporting anyone under 18 without parental approval. So they couldn't get any more kids after that incident, but a lot of the ones who were there just stayed.
Yikes, as they say.
And the woman Dawn they were interviewing, she was 16 when she joined. She was one of the minors.
Oh, man.
And she was there for several years. She finally got out, and people would call her house, other members, and tell her she was going to hell.
Oh!
And she was risking eternal punishment if she didn't return. And they would call her in the middle of the night. And
so yeah. Aggressive.
It was.
I don't know why I say that like I'm surprised, because it is a cult.
It is a cult, but that was just, and that's interesting to me because it was in New York City in the 1980s, which is not where and when our cults typically fall.
That's true, actually.
And it's just, it's not like a time you would really associate.
80s?
Yeah. With like a religious cult, because 80s was during Satanic Panic.
Right.
Which, if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's basically in the 1980s, there were these kind of satanic cults that were popping up, and people were panicking, and they're like, Satan's gonna take our children, mm-hmm. and anytime anyone did anything slightly dark, or there was a pentagram, it was like a full-blown witch hunt.
Yes.
So, I think it was very interesting to me, because it was such a dark and grimy time, and the time when the city itself was not doing awesome.
Not fabulous.
The AIDS crisis was happening around this time as well.
But maybe this negativity that was, like, surrounding them was kind of a good catalyst for people to be like, my life sucks, the world sucks, and hey, look at this friendly group promising me salvation.
I guess
a place
is.
To be. Which is kind of fucked up. Especially
that's what they
as,
do.
Yeah, I mean, Trail started setting up more fellowship houses, spreading out to Jersey, Ohio, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, D.C., North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Yikes, he was just taking over the whole Northeast.
I know, really.
Northeast Coast, rather.
Yeah.
But I know at its peak, they had about 10,000 members.
That is so many.
Which is so many for a place that was... Honestly, what was interesting to me, too... I'm always saying that. I've listened back to our old things, and I'm always like, what's interesting to me? Like, shut up and just say the thing that's interesting, Hallie. But what's interesting to me is that the message they were sharing was not very strange. Like, it was basically just, like, strict Christianity.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, wild. There were no UFOs. There was no...
Yeah.
There wasn't any, like, apocalypse.
Nope, factor. This wasn't a doomsday cult.
Yeah.
And because it's not a doomsday cult, it still exists today.
Not very strong.
Oh, it is a shadow of its former self.
But Trails still live in large.
He lives in Princeton, New Jersey now.
Have we moved into where are they now?
I guess we can move into
is
where they
are. Is this like a mini episode or is this...
No, yeah, it's one of our shorter ones,
all right,
but
fair
they
enough.
Can't all be packed. We have a two-parter coming up, guys, so
yes.
Don't you worry.
Alrighty. So can I just make some quick notes?
Absolutely. Stretch this thing out, man.
I will stretch this motherfucker out. So, Stuart Trail's father, Donald, was a Presbyterian minister.
Never trusted Donald.
Who disapproved of the Forever Family, which was the original name.
Yes, I'm sorry. Can we just talk about it? They were called the Forever Family,
yes.
Which just sounds so creepy and suicide culty.
That's not a great
name. It sounds like a suicide cult.
It does sound like a suicide cult.
Like, we're all gonna be family forever and ever.
So he disapproves of it so much, he eventually disowns him. So then, okay. Trail is like a horrible, harsh, domineering, and cruel leader.
As we got when he was weighing and spanking his wife.
Yeah. So he really, like, utilized a lot of different types of psychological control to, like, kind of keep his little sheep at bay.
Well, I definitely think he sort of taught that to his people, like how Dawn was in the article was saying people would call her in the middle of the night like they were scared.
Yeah.
They were legitimately believed that she was going to hell if she didn't come back.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
It really is.
So he would establish quotas, and anyone who didn't meet the quota...
The quota of, like, gathering new members? Or the quota of vacuum cleaner things cleaned?
No, of bringing in new members. Mm-hmm. They were, and if they didn't meet that quota, they were accused of faithlessness.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good. Dangle that over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
He also managed to buy a plane with the money that the church brought in for him.
Oh, my God. And all these other people must have been living in squalor.
They honestly do. They work, like, hours and hours and hours and hours every day. They don't sleep that much. They fucking just suffer. And he's living it up in a mansion in Florida to this day. He's like 79, 80. And so...
Reminds me a little bit of Scientology.
His followers are laboring in poverty, and he does nothing. And so the church now has some sort of charity that they're running in Haiti, but it's just a cover, and...
That was going to be part of my Where Are They Now.
Oh, please, yeah. Take it away.
Well, there's many things that are, where are they now? The lasting legacy of this church is there was a Seinfeld episode that was based off of their weird carpet cleaning thing, and it was called Sunshine Carpet Cleaning Cult.
Sounds about right.
So it was like known in the public mind, at least in New York in the 80s, which is obviously where Seinfeld was said and where they drew all their inspiration.
Right.
People were aware this was happening. They're like, oh, I guess I'm gonna get the cult to come in and clean my house.
I would not feel comfortable with them in my house.
Oh, me neither. Me neither. I'd be like, so...
How are you?
Anyone watch baseball? but like you were saying, back to the Haiti. In 2013,
mm-hmm.
after the Haitian earthquake, which was in 2011, right?
Maybe. I'm going to look that up really quick.
I'm 90% sure it was in 2011. But
that sounds right, but I just want to be sure.
Yeah, do. The Port-au-Prince earthquake demolished a good chunk of Haiti's cities and just killed so many people. And everyone.
Oh, not the one from today.
There was one today?
Apparently there was one at 9 a.m. today. Oh, no, not... Today. It was 2 days ago.
Those poor people.
But it was a very little one, apparently. This is from 2010.
Oh, it was 2010. Okay.
Yeah, so, very close.
So, in 2010, obviously, there was that huge earthquake, and they needed disaster relief.
Yes.
And they, as a church, went down to go...
Help.
So, the group was accused by the Associated Press, who went down to investigate this, that they were running substandard housing for orphans in Haiti... After the two homes the church set up there received failing grades from the Haitian agency that monitors orphanages.
No.
And like Stassi was saying, they have so much money and everyone lives in squalor. The Associated Press said that they were thought to be spending $2.5 million annually.
Nope.
And the home for boys and girls, the two of them that they had in Haiti, were so dirty and overcrowded that the government said they shouldn't remain open.
Oh.
In Haiti, in a disaster area. They said it was overcrowded and dirty.
Oh, no.
Like, have you ever seen a disaster area? That is a low bar.
Yeah, shit. Wow. So, Stuart Traill, you're a piece of shit.
Total piece of shit. And he's still alive.
I know. And Carrie Fisher has been taken from us.
Ugh.
I know. Carrie. Just breathe.
I can't even think about this. I was reading the news this morning with my dad, and we just get so upset.
What was on the news this morning?
Well, everything. Every time idiot president sex criminal, like, appoints somebody new, it's, like, the worst person who could do the job.
It kind of
is. I'm 90% sure he's trying to throw this.
He's doing this on purpose. He definitely wants to start the apocalypse.
He didn't want to be president. He just wanted attention.
I know.
Oh, God. This is from my other podcast, which doesn't exist yet, but it's called Hallie Yells at the Sky.
Hallie yells at some birds in her front lawn.
So yeah, that was the Church of Bible Understanding.
It's clearly a shitty cult, but you know they didn't kill anyone, as far as we know. So
the Church of Bible Understanding clearly didn't understand the Bible.
Oh, well done! Bring
nice
it a full circle.
But you're right. They may not have killed anyone directly, but with forcing all those poor Haitian orphans to live in squalor, they probably did.
They definitely caused a lot of mental damage to a lot of people.
And physical illness, and just...
Yeah.
By not letting anyone sleep and making them clean carpets all day.
Stuart Traill, You
fuck
suck.
You.
You suck, you horrible old man.
We got another lovely review that said someone appreciated our singing, so.
I saw that. Yeah. I want to sing more, but I'm so sick today.
Yeah, poor Stassi has a cold. If you heard her getting up, she was going to get tissues.
I honestly feel like I'm going to die, so this is great. But I'm happy to spend my last moments talking about cults with you, huh?
I'm so glad. Would you like to do recommendations?
I started The Crown last night with my parents. Very good. That is all I have. I think I've made it through like 3.5 episodes.
Nice. That's more than me. Not that it was bad. I just wasn't paying attention.
No, it was good. It was good. And then I was like halfway through an episode and then I was like, I want to paint my table, which as you'll see behind you, that's the table we're going to have in our apartment
right.
next year.
Beautiful.
And that's also and the she cat did. House that I built yesterday.
And she did.
Yeah, I was super crafty yesterday, so Oh, you know what? Another good recommendation I'm going to do to you today, because I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Use, like, old cardboard Christmas boxes, or whatever boxes.
Holiday boxes.
Holiday boxes, to build cat houses. Look, like, the one I made, look at it. It has constellations on it, and it's black and gold, and there's stars and the moon.
That is actually very pretty.
And I'm going to put a cushion up there, and my lovely cat will just live in...
Chill out.
Luxury.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Hal, what do you recommend?
Oh, Lordy. I went with my brother, Maddie. I don't know why I specified which one.
I'm actually happy that you did, because I was thinking, which one?
My brother, Matthew, Maddie. I don't know what he's being called now. He's 15.
Matthias.
He wants to be called Matt, but my dad's name is Matt. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
Thew. Call him Thew.
I'm going to call him Thew. So me and Thew
I'm
went
surprised that's not...
More common?
More common.
Yeah.
That's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be as soon as I said it.
Well, Matt... Other Matt, he's joking with me. He's like, it's so weird you call your brother Maddie. And I'm like, people didn't call you Maddie? He's like, yeah, when I was a toddler, but it's been Matt forever. And I'm like, oh, that's weird.
We knew too many Matts.
I know too many Matts. But anyway, Thew and I went to go see Rogue One.
I'm going
to
call him that now.
Oh, he's going to really appreciate that.
Good.
We went to go see Rogue One, which I was like, eh, you know, it's just one of the Star Wars movies they're churning out.
That dead horse.
I loved it.
I know you did.
Oh my god. Have I recommended this already?
No, but you mentioned it at the New Year's Eve party.
Yes. No, I loved it. It was totally new and because you didn't know what was going to happen.
Okay.
And all the main Star Wars movies, like this is one of those like prequel kind of stories that isn't connected to the main like trilogy.
Yeah. Wait, what is the main trilogy?
The new main trilogy with okay. John Boyega and okay. Daisy Ridley and everyone.
Okay.
But...
It's so hard to keep
There's
track.
Three separate trilogies.
I know.
What do you call a 9-part series? A saga?
A fucking dead horse.
But no, this was, it wasn't like the typical, oh, we have to blow up this thing and we have one girl and two guys. And it was, it had a lot of women in it. It had a lot of people of color in it. It was so funny. Diego Luna can just get it.
I don't know who that is, but I like the sound of that name.
He's so cute. He's like 37. I was shocked when I found that out.
I'm gonna look him up right now. I've never heard of this.
But we both really enjoyed it. It was funny. It was snappy. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Contact us at cultsofourlives@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe. We got another great review. Keep it up. We're releasing one of our fan mail episodes soon.
Yeah, you can look forward to that.
Yeah, so
don't join any cults.
Be excellent to each other.
Yeah. Oh, be careful. It's a jungle out there.
Bye, guys.